5. He passed away days after leaving hospital where he was being treated for a severe infection. The world of politics is remembering Alistair Darling as a giant and someone whose calmness in a crisis became relied upon. The former Chancellor in office during the 2008 financial crash has passed away with cancer. He was 70. Scotland's First Minister Humza Yousaf has been remembering when their paths crossed at Edinburgh Airport.
He made the point of stopping to congratulate me, even though we're from different political parties. And he also said to me, even discreetly, Humza, if you want to pick up the phone and you want a conversation, a chat, a bit of advice, I'll always treat that with confidence. And I think that's a mark of the man and of his character.
A mother's been found guilty along with her partner of murdering her 18-month-old son. Alfie Phillips suffered 70 injuries at his home in Kent in 2020. Colleagues of headteacher Ruth Perry have told an inquest there's a direct link between her death and an inspection which saw her school in Reading downgraded. She took her own life in January. Matt Hancock's claimed many, many lives could have been saved if the first coronavirus lockdown had been imposed earlier. The former health secretary has told the COVID inquiry it should have happened 3 weeks before it did.
That is the moment that we should have acted, and if we'd had the doctrine that I propose, which is as soon as you know you've got a lockdown, you lock down as soon as possible, fewer than a tenth of the number of people would have died in the first wave.
But he also concedes there was enormous uncertainty at the time. And in football, tonight's European action is underway. In the first half of the Europa League, Brighton are goalless against AEK Athens, and there's also no score between West Ham and Bačka Topola in Serbia. That's the latest. I'm Anna Bates.
This is Phoenix FM.
Weather on Phoenix FM, proudly sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning home improvement company for windows, doors, conservatories and extensions.
Who's AEK Athens? I'll be keeping you up to date with the football scores if that's your thing. But first, let's have a look at the weather. Well, this evening and at the start of tonight, it will be dry and largely clear. Towards dawn, some patchy cloud and the odd shower may push back in across coastlines. It's going to be cold with a low tonight. It says here of 0 degrees, but I reckon it's colder than that already. And I'm told that if you look in the right place in the sky tonight, there's the Northern Lights, if you are lucky enough to see that. Tomorrow morning, any showers should clear, leaving a largely dry day with patchy cloud and bright spells. Just the outside chance of further isolated light showers. Staying chilly, highs of just 5 degrees. And the outlook for the weekend, Saturday looks to be partly cloudy and generally dry. However, sleet and snow showers are expected to move in from the southwest overnight into Sunday. These will clear in the morning, leaving it dry with some brightness for a time. Turning overcast and breezy overnight into Monday, with spells of rain sweeping in from the southwest. Staying cold, but trending slightly milder.
Weather on Phoenix FM, sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning home improvement company, proudly serving Essex for over 50 years. Contact us on 0800 666 444 or visit sehbac.com for help with your home.
Thanks as always to Jo for Drive. She'll be back tomorrow, as she is every weekday, 3 till 6. From now until 7 o'clock. It's me, Darren Mutu. 98, not out, it's cricket all the way.
On 98 FM and online, this is Phoenix FM.
Welcome along to 98 Not Out. Every Thursday night between 6 and 7 right here on Phoenix FM. Thanks for all your messages and emails this week. I'll be getting through them tonight. Lots to talk about. Special guest this evening, Hugh Turbeville, editor of the Cricketer magazine. We'll be covering a range of subjects with him. Have a bit of music as well. Quite a lot of news going on from cricket around the world. Some big county news as well. Lovely cricket. Further updates on Essex and Middlesex's new relationship, which is going to be burgeoning through the summer. And we'll also be taking a look at the Cricket Writers Club. They had their awards lunch this week. And we'll be going through the runners, riders, and the winners and losers. And I should add, if you're out driving tonight, be very careful. It is freezing out there. Just be careful of any black ice. Traffic is very, very heavy. Especially in the Brentwood area, there are roadworks between here and Hutton on the Rayleigh Road. There's temporary traffic lights up. And also heading into Billericay as well. So just take it easy, no rush. Tune in to 98 Not Out and enjoy your drive. And a special hello, as always, to Dan Hagger, who's listening. Big Essex fan, Kitman Dan. Essex super fan. And to Bob Ludlow as well. The players them say them not broke no fight. Come at me tell you say I cricket, lovely cricket. Got to lick the ball before it reach the wicket. Say, and I've just realised tomorrow is December. Where did November go? It was bonfire night the other night. All of a sudden it's Christmas time, December. Can you see me lick any for me, they go ball out for more. Lick many for me, I go check out the school. Tell you about the sun and you no feel no way. In a different style. Man called Jah Thomas in a rubber duck style. Man called Jah Thomas in a different style. Right, I'm just going to start off with some news for a change, and it all seems to be dominated by Australians. You just can't keep them out of the spotlight after their fantastic win at the World Cup final a couple of weeks back. They are, again, in action against Australia. No one's really been paying much attention to this. You kind of get a bit cricketed out when you've had a World Cup behind you. But Glenn Maxwell, you just can't keep a good man down. He's hit the joint fastest T20 century for Australia as the tourists kept alive their series hopes against India in Guwahati. I think I've said that right. Maxwell smashed an unbeaten 104 not out from just 48 balls in a knock which contained 8 fours and 6 sixes. Sounds like off my bowling. Rutaraj Gaikwad's equally brilliant 123 not out from 57 balls helped set Australia a target of 223, which they reached off the final ball. And I think at the time of writing, India are now leading the series 2-1 with two matches to play. Now, the big county news that's broken today is that Lancashire have made a stunning signing. They've signed Australian spinner Nathan Lyons. He's signed with the county for the 2024 season, the whole summer across all competitions. So that's fantastic news for Lancashire fans. They've got to be looking forward to that. And I would imagine all county fans when they host Lancashire to see everyone's favourite Australian. And remember, if you see him, don't remind him of that missed stumping in the 2019 Test match at Headingley. Yes. Dear, oh dear. I don't think he'll ever, ever live that one down. But anyway, it'll be good to see him on English soil next summer. So look out for that. Right, more news later on. It's about time for it's Cricket Birthdays of the Week. Okay, this week, a couple of West Indies to start off with. Ridley Jacobs, 56. Romario Shepherd, 29. Suresh Arena, 37. Andre Fletcher, 36. Michael Yardy, 43. Craig Kieswetter, 36. Sky Sports' Nick Knight, 54. Andrew Gale, once of Yorkshire, 40 years old. Yunus Khan is 36. Mohammed Kaif, 43. Arjuna Ranatunga, age 60 years old. Sarfraz Nawaz, Pakistan, 57. Another West Indian, Craig Brathwaite, 31. Tim Ambrose, 41. And Ollie Robinson, 25. To all of those cricketers, happy birthday, and I hope you're having a great week. And we should add that November the 27th, just the other day, marks the anniversary of that awful day when we lost Phil Hughes. November the 27th. Phil Hughes, never forgotten.
98 not out.
Right, I told you about Glenn Maxwell. Unbelievable. T20 World Cup, there's some excellent news today. Uganda has created history by becoming only the fifth country from Africa to qualify for the tournament. They are going to appear alongside Namibia at the tournament, which takes place bang in the middle of the English summer. It's being hosted by the West Indies and also America. So should be quite interesting, that. Right, let's have a bit of music. This is Oasis. Always popular on this show. Every time I play Oasis, get lots of great feedback. So this is one of my favourite Oasis tracks. This is Supersonic.
I need to be myself.
Oasis and Supersonic.
Go to phoenixfm.com and listen to online guest interviews. Check the events for your area and listen to great radio online.
The December issue of the Cricketer magazine is out now, and we look back at England's disastrous World Cup campaign. Vic Marks says England wrote off 50-over cricket and paid the price, while George De Bell argues that Rob Key is under pressure for the first time. Editor Hugh Turbeville, meanwhile, argues that England seem to be winging it at the moment, while Barney Rone writes his final column for the Cricketer from the World Cup. And Nasser Hussain picks out where England went wrong. We also have an exclusive Stuart Broad interview. David Gower pays tribute to Sir Alistair Cook. We have an interview with Yorkshire's Finlay Bean and Darren Goff. And Mike Selvey pays tribute to Bisham Beddy. That's the December edition of the Cricketer magazine, out now.
And more from Hugh Turbeville in just a little while. Make sure you get that December edition. In fact, go the whole hog. Treat yourself because it's Christmas and subscribe. It doesn't cost very much, and it is always a lovely thing to have land on your doormat. As I said, more from him a little bit later on. Now, a lot of news swirling around this week, and I just posted on Facebook the following. Counties ground sharing. Players highlighting burnout from playing too many games. County finances back to the fore. Is all of this playing into the hands of those that think English domestic cricket's future is eight teams based at Test grounds playing razzmatazz cricket? And I got some really good feedback for this. John Hall said, definitely has the whiff of a concerted campaign about it. Neil Harris said, of course it is, been coming for years. Someone called Mustafa Curry, great name if that's true. Actually, I'm going to have one after the show. Players don't play too many games. Check your old wisdoms and compare. I think that might be a contentious one. Apparently, 10 is the new 8. Now, we have heard about that. I'll be talking about that with Hugh. Paul Waring says, there's not too many games. It's just a small number of ultra, ultra elite players signing up for every franchise competition under the sun and thinking the rest of the domestic schedule should be modified to suit them. Very good point, Paul. There's another one getting underway at the moment. I think there's a T10 out in Asia somewhere. I saw a few names prancing about on Instagram about how they'd arrived out there in expensive seats on planes. Andy Smith said he agrees with Paul Waring, and he says it's the same with football, where with the exception of the top clubs, there are less games than there used to be. Football managers still rail about burnout, but there have been massive squads. But they have massive squads, and they play unnecessary pre-season tournaments in the US and Asia. Plenty of parallels here. Paul Bolton says that PCA are naively playing into the hands of those who want this to happen. Fewer matches, fewer counties, fewer professional cricketers, smaller salaries. Turkeys really do vote for Christmas. Good post, Paul. Colin Miles, two ways to help cut down the travel time, i.e. stop travelling to the same venue for championship, but then again for one day, then again for T20 and try and play on consecutive days. By the way, scrap the 100. Don't think that's going to happen anytime soon, but let's hope. Mark Sands, the longer the duration of matches, the less travelling between venues. Solution, therefore, play more four-day matches and less one-day. Not sure that's going to happen either. Yes, and Andrew Frank finally says, players play too many games, pure comedy gold. Now, remember, if you want to take part in the discussion, head to Facebook, Twitter or Instagram, where you can just search, if you haven't already done so, why not? But search for 98 Not Out, I'll put various bits and pieces up there, sometimes a bit contentious, just to prod the stick with some of you guys out there. I love to hear your thoughts, and I love the interaction as well. And don't forget, as well as that, we are on YouTube, again, 98 Not Out, and the podcast is there as well. Just search for 98 Not Out wherever you get your podcast. We are across all major platforms, and there's a huge back catalogue of everything we've been doing all down the years, and some of the amazing guests. I still pinch myself when I look at the guests we've had, but yes, you can find all of those on the podcast and on the YouTube channel. For those of you that are interested in football, West Ham are still 0-0 with Bakker Topola, and Brighton and Hove Albion are still 0-0 with AEK Athens news team, not Ake Athens. I'll keep in touch with any goals as they go in there, but both of those games are 34 minutes into the first half.
across Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
I mentioned my guest this week is Mr. Hugh Turbeville, quite a regular on the show, a big supporter of us. I caught up with him yesterday and various things to talk about, but we tried to keep it largely about around everything that's going on and the stories and the rumours that are doing the rounds in county cricket. So here we go. This is Hugh Turbeville. I'm joined now by Hugh Turbeville from The Cricketer, an old friend of mine and the show. Hugh, welcome along. Hope you're on good form.
Not too bad, thank you. Yeah, recovering from the Cricket Writers Club lunch.
Everyone I know that went to that was complaining of a sore head the next day.
Yeah, well, you have all the wine on the table, but then people go to the pub normally. We went to the Barley Mow pub, I think, in next door.
So that leads us on nicely to the state of county cricket. It's always a favourite subject amongst the cricketing world as winter sets in, but this year it seems to be taking yet more frenzied discussion. From the headlines that we've seen recently and from a lot of the Twitter posts that have been going backwards and forwards, has county cricket reached the point of no return?
All right, so the chief executive of the England Wales Cricket Board, Richard Gould, likes county cricket. He's a fan of 18 counties, and I think he's trying, with the chair of the ECB, Richard Thompson, they're both from Surrey, of course, are both trying to do what they can to shore up the futures of the county game. But some people are very pessimistic about the future of county cricket, yes. Whether that's in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, I don't know. I mean, some people say that some counties will die. And, of course, there's this interminably endless debate about whether the 100 is good for them or not.
I was doing a lot of thinking about this and how we've got to where we are. Mm. And to me, the arrival of 2020 cricket, or the 2020 Cup as it was back in 2003, was a good thing. It was, and the timing was right, although it was just a shame that cricket disappeared from free-to-air in 2005, just a couple of years later. What might have been? But when they started trying to brand counties T20 sides, which I never quite understood the need for, hence you had Essex Eagles and Notts Outlaws and Somerset Cider Drink. Oh, no, we didn't get that one, did we? Somerset held fast, as did Surrey, interestingly. But this branding thing, and then to the point where Warwickshire started calling themselves Birmingham Bears, sort of opened or unlatched the door for where we are now. In terms of franchises and franchise cricket, we've seen it all around the world. And in the UK, now we've come to the stage of the 100 and openly franchise. Well, it is a franchise model. But I read this week that Surrey have sort of thrown into the air the idea of Oval Originals being rebranded as Surrey, whether it's Surrey Original or just Surrey. Two questions with that particular thing. I thought the Oval Invincibles was originally an amalgam of Surrey and Kent. So where does that leave Kent?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So, and yeah, the second question.
If we're looking forward 5 or 10 years, do we see these current 100 setups, even if they expand it to 10 teams, which I've been reading about this week as well, is that the future model of domestic cricket based on these teams, even if they ditch the format of the 100 and bring it back to T20? Is county cricket going to be based around that model?
Right. So there's a lot of stuff there. While I indeed respect your opinion, I don't think that Warwickshire calling themselves Birmingham Bears was necessarily a bad thing. I think that was quite a sensible thing, actually. I think that that possibly shored up, you know, tried to shore up their future as a county. I don't mind Warwickshire calling themselves Birmingham Bears or Essex calling themselves Essex Eagles. I think what happened was that they invented the 2020 Cup, the T20, invented it. I mean, we've been playing it village cricket for years, haven't we? But 15 8 ball overs. But anyway, they invented it. And they were then slow to sort of, well, they kept the 18 county model, and then the IPL came in, then the Big Bash, PSL, CPL, eight teams. So there's people in the game, Sky especially, who didn't want 18 counties. They want eight teams. They want an 18 model. They say it's better. It's got more concentrated talent, better players, better venues. So And we were slow on that, but we finally sort of then introduced 100. When we introduced it, everybody was like, what? What's happened? It's not 2020, it's 100 balls. And some of the names were ludicrous, but maybe we're getting too sort of bogged down with all that. I mean, does it really matter that Lancashire Originals, Manchester Originals is a stupid name, but hey, you know, sure, we just live with that. I suppose you don't want to call it Man City or Man United. but where are we at now? So anyway, eight teams. Richard Gould, I believe, is trying to not exclude the other 10 counties who have to play this 50-over competition without their best players in August. So he wants to introduce the new 100, which is, and it's going to be called the 100. Whether you think it's anything to do with the 100 or not, I don't know. I suppose technically it would probably still be called the 100. It would still have 100 balls per innings to start with. But all 18 sides could well be involved in two divisions and promotion and relegation. Now, the debate is about whether it'll be straightforward promotion and relegation or whether a team in the second division have to apply to join because of their ground and because of their facilities. So that's one aspect of it. He's trying to get this through. He's trying to persuade Sky to do it, even though it's contractually obliged till 2028. The Sky could just turn around and say, nope, we want an 1800 tournament exactly as it is till 2028. But Richard Gould is trying to get the other teams involved, like Essex and Kent and Sussex. Now, you raise the point, yes. I read the interview with Ollie Slipper in the Telegraph, and he says, oh, yes, I like the 100, and let's embrace it. And they said, let's call the Oval Invincibles Surrey Invincibles. But as you say, Kent are equally involved. Well, when you say they're equally involved, but they're the sleeping partner in it because they don't play at the Oval. But they are as involved. So they're going to have something to say about it being called Surrey Invincibles. That's my first point. Also, my second point, I can't see why the chair of Surrey likes the 100 so much when these new teams under this new model advocated by Richard Gould are going to be half owned by the ECB and half owned by Surrey. Now, why would Ollie Slipper like that more than he would like a T20 Surrey side wholly owned by Surrey? I don't understand that. There might be better financial brains out there who understand it better. Apparently, some counties will have outside investment from Indian billionaires or whatever. Now, I don't. Surrey said they don't need that at the moment, but that's something that could well be of usefulness to some counties. It would certainly, let's play devil's advocate here and say that I am open-minded about private finance. We could say they could build better stadiums, they could get better players, pay higher wages. As a football fan as well as a cricket fan, I'm very wary of seeing Hicks and Gillette at Liverpool and the Glazers at Manchester United and the guy at Everton. I am wary of private investment. I don't think it's the elixir that some people think it is. But yeah, that's it really, isn't it? So all the county clubs will be involved in a T20 style competition in August. And as far as I see it, they'll also have the Blast, because they won't want to get rid of the Blast, because that gives them seven matches at home, big gate receipts. I might go to the six, might go to the five if they agree to it. I don't think they necessarily will. But we have two T20 style competitions, where Australia have one, India have one, New Zealand have one, Western, you know. So what a dog's dinner it is, Darren, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm particularly worried that cricket is sleepwalking into a disastrous, perilous situation. I put a thing on our Facebook page about, and just questioning, you know, my listeners and followers, that from the PCA you've had noises that players are complaining about the schedule being too pounding and too much to put up with.
Yep.
County finances are getting ever more perilous. Look at Middlesex announcing they're going to play two home or outground T20 fixtures at Chelmsford, the home of Essex.
Well, it depends who you talk. And I've been talking to Nick Friend about that this morning, and you know, I mean, he's explained to me how ridiculously expensive it would be for Middlesex to set up all the facilities at somewhere like Teddington, or, you know, he's also listed the various reasons why clubs like Teddington or Richmond, it would be very difficult to set the ground up for the rigorous criteria that the ECB now set out. So he's given me the pragmatic side of it, but I agree with you. On the surface, it looks absolutely incredible that Middlesex are playing two games at Essex next summer.
Yeah, it's a funny thing, because Essex haven't played any outground cricket, I think, for probably six, maybe 7 years now. And despite members saying we want it back at Colchester, we want it at Garen's Park, Southend, we want it at Valentine's Park, Ilford. As you rightly say, the economics of it are prohibitive, and that's why Essex did that. And they, to be fair to them, they did make that quite plain at the time that it's just not worth it. And the other thing is, you know, the pitch qualities. And I think Middlesex, in a statement that they put out this week, have said that they're much more likely to get a decent pitch playing at Chelmsford than they are at Radlett or somewhere like that, yeah. Which would open up another can of worms.
Well, as Nick Friend said, Radlett isn't even in Middlesex. And Norse Merchant Taylors. But if you want to read Nick Friend's article on our website, the cricketerwood.com website, then, and he's gone into great detail about why Middlesex have made that decision. Their finances have been reported, and they've got all sorts of problems with arguments with previous people there and so forth. But apparently they've got some money. It's not as perilous as we think. Surrey in a very good position financially. I mean, Sussex are in... The books are balanced. You know, Rob Andrew, not loved by everyone at Sussex, but he's left the books balanced. But yeah, I mean, some counties are in trouble, aren't they? Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And, you know, but you mentioned the way that football's gone in terms of, you know, when we were youngsters, you never ever heard a footballer sort of. There weren't even really many big money transfers. I can remember the hoo ha when Trevor Francis went from Birmingham to Nottingham Forest for £1 million, and all the noise about that. But it was a unique occurrence. Whereas, you know, and then that was the next stage of it all, with players being sold and bought for stupid amounts of money. And now it's to the point where clubs are being bought and sold for stupid amounts of money. Yeah. But I'm looking at Formula One, what's going on there. And the thing that worries me, so just recently we had the Las Vegas Grand Prix. There hasn't been a Grand Prix in Las Vegas for, I think it's about 40-odd years, maybe longer. And they've spent God knows how much money redesigning a brand new circuit that runs down the strip in Vegas. They've put up new buildings. They've, from what I hear, somebody that went over there on a holiday, his holiday was ruined because he couldn't even see the Bellagio fountains because all of that was all under scaffolding and things being relocated and moved about, whatever, for this Grand Prix. And then when it went on, I almost, listening to people's interviews, and this worries me in relationship to cricket, no one was allowed to say a bad word at all about the fact this Grand Prix has come there because the owners of Formula One are now Americans, and then, you know, all of a sudden we've got Grand Prix in Las Vegas, Florida, Houston, and, you know, you name it. But it was almost like they were being forced to say, oh, this is fantastic. You know, it's a great track. It's the best track I've driven. And even when they were being questioned about, you know, really, they were quite aggressively going back. Toto Wolff, the Mercedes team principal, was being quite aggressively defensive about why he thought everything was so fantastic. Does the sport get lost where this kind of money comes in, where it's all about who owns it, who pays the bills, and the rest of you sit down, be quiet and take your money?
Yeah, I think sports journalism, I think I noticed it definitely under The Guardian and sports editor Ben Clissett in early 2000s. Sports news, David Bond at the Evening Standard. Sports news was the thing, wasn't it? You know, talking about the finance and the owners. And far, if, as you say, we were brought up in the 80s when, you know, transfers sort of seemed to just drop, didn't they? I mean, as a Liverpool fan, oh, Kevin McDonald to sign for $400,000, and all, you know, just all out of the blue, you know. I mean, I to be fair, my parents bought the Telegraph; they didn't buy the Sun, so I might have seen these stories in there. I don't know, but we see a lot more about football transfers and finance now, don't we? And we're a lot more aware of these kind of things than we were in the 80s, definitely, yeah. But there's people who want to be the way it is, or to think it's going to be the way it is, that we're going to have these kind of billionaire owners of these franchises. I mean, going back to something you said earlier, ECB will say that we haven't got franchises at the moment because the clubs, the 100 teams are owned by the ECB. I think the teams in the Big Bash are owned by the Cricket Australia. So I don't think they are technically franchises yet, but they look like franchises, obviously. But I think, yes, these would be franchises now, wouldn't they? I mean, the South Africa T20 thing is franchises, isn't it? And I think the IPL owners own them and lease the grounds like the Wanderers. So, Yeah, I mean, there's people out there who want to have an eight-team elite 2020 tournament in this country, and they just see it as the future. Is it a self-fulfilling prophecy? I don't know, but you have to worry about the future of many county clubs, if not all, don't you?
Well, what makes me concerned is this morning I read a piece about Will Jacks saying about how he would be quite happy to be an opening bat in the reborn setup of white ball cricket for England. But he did say something about he wasn't really sure about going on the India tour because it clashes with the SA20. And he's basically citing financial reasons. What he would earn from going to South Africa would dwarf what he would get from touring India with England.
Yeah, now, I think Liam Dawson said something similar, isn't he?
Yeah.
We better find some spinners from somewhere. I mean, I suppose Jack, Ray and Ahmed, but
this is my fear of what's going on overall is that, you know, and in football we saw everything shift towards player power and players dictating whether they want. I mean, you know, you saw with Ronaldo at Manchester United, but once he decided he wasn't interested anymore, he kind of almost went on strike. To a lesser extent, I'm just wondering if in cricket we're starting to see this now where players are more concerned about earning money. And I get the whole thing about, you know, I'm a long time retired, but I can remember when I was a youngster, I don't remember anyone hearing anyone about, you know, anyone playing cricket other than the love of playing the game and getting your name on the honours board, wherever it was. You know, the best you could hope for was a Toyota car given to you by the local dealership with Hugh Turbeville of Lord's Taverners and England drives a Toyota.
Yeah, I mean, I'll get accused of being a reactionary or something. It's the way it's going, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Can we slow it down? Can we make it more gradual? Can it be more evolutionary rather than revolutionary? As you know, I would want an 18-county T20 to develop. I don't see why Surrey, you should be able to invest in a Surrey T20 side. You should be investing in Surrey all side, you know, all formats.
Yeah.
Going back to something you said about the PCA and the player workload, I mean, in the old days, it was worse, wasn't it? I mean, David Gower, we were talking about that last week, he writes for The Cricketer, and he was saying, you know, that on a Tuesday he'd be playing in Taunton, and then he'd drive up to Headingley on the Wednesday, you know. So it was ever thus, wasn't it? It was probably worse, wasn't it? But I'm not dismissing the concerns about player welfare. I'm not. I mean, Nick Friend, again, has written some stories about, you know, people playing fast games 2 days in a row and all this sort of stuff. So there's a recognition that we need to have a better 50-over competition after England's abject World Cup showing. And, you know, we hear rumours that they're going to play 50-over early in the season. So 50-over, County Championship, stuck at 14 rounds because the members revolted, as it were, about that. So it's stuck at 14 rounds. I'm happy that it is as well, personally, but I'm traditionalist. I possibly could argue that it should be 12 rounds, 2 rounds per month. I don't think it should go any lower than that. I don't think it should be 10 rounds like it is in Australia because of the weather.
Yeah.
So over 14 rounds championship, the Blast want the Cavs want 7 Blast home games. Then you've got the 100. So something would appear to have to give unless Richard Gould is an alchemist. But we shall see, won't we? I mean, and then, of course, the other thing is women's cricket, that people who don't like the 100 will say get rid of the 100, then people say, well, it's been brilliant for women's cricket, so what about them? You know, what about if you have an 18-club new 100, does that mean you'll have 18 women's teams? Is the quality there? I'm sure it will be there one day, but is it there at the moment? You know, this concentrated 8-team thing is good for women's cricket. You have the right talent. Is there enough talent there for 18 teams at the moment? So there's so much to juggle. I mean, Richard Gould has got a huge task, hasn't he, on his hands, and Richard Thompson to get to the bottom of all this.
You think there is a bottom?
Well, I would say that Richard Gould seems to be working towards getting Sky to agree to a new tournament that involves all 18 clubs with an elite 8-team top flight. And it's hard task, but we wish him luck in getting to that, and that will at least see us through till 2028 when the 100 is contracted to, and then I guess it will all be up for grabs again. But I don't see, unfortunately, us going back away from the franchise route, because that's the way the world's going. But I say I would have preferred counties playing 14 rounds of championship or 12, a meaningful 50 over competition that has the best players in it, preparing us for forthcoming champions, trophies and World Cups, and blast.
Sky must be aware of all of this noise that's going on, and
they're at the front of everything, yeah. They're at the forefront of all these talks and negotiations, yeah, and have strong views about what they want, and they're paying good money for it. So, I mean, you can't really argue about that, but they have a lot of power, yeah.
Yeah, which kind of goes back to my point about the influence of rich owners of sports. But I just sort of wonder if they think, well, hang on a second, if we want to grow this product and, you know, enhance it, then maybe we do need to listen to some of the points that are being raised, and maybe we do need to just tweak the model a little bit. Hopefully that's the case, because that way everyone will be happier, if not completely happy.
Happier.
All right, I think we'll leave it there. Really great to chat, and we could probably go on for the next few days talking about the same thing, but yes, it's always interesting, and this I don't think we've heard the last of any of this over the winter, and certainly into the next summer. But we've got the fixtures out, we've got those to look forward to. We've got a tour to the West Indies starting on Sunday, which is always good value. So, and then it's Christmas, fantastic.
Yeah, December magazine's still out with England's sort of post mortem and Yorkshire special and Stuart Broad interview, and. We'll have the Christmas issue out with a lovely cartoony cover by Nick Newman of the Sunday Times, and that comes out in mid-December, so the January Christmas issue. Yeah.
Fantastic. Right, well, we'll make sure all of our listeners are given good notice of that, and Hugh, we will catch up very, very soon.
I hope so, Darren. Thank you very much indeed.
Hugh Turbeville, editor of the Cricketer magazine, many thanks for that chat. And if you want to listen back to it, you can, many ways actually, you can go to the podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. That should be up there to listen to and download now. Or if you want to listen back to the whole show, head to phoenixfm.com, look under programs, look for 98 No Out, and tonight's show will be there later on this evening. Now, after that chat, there's only one track I could play, really. It's Pink Floyd. This is Money.
This is Phoenix 98 FM.
Hands off of my stack. Money. definitely was in the right.
Yeah, it was definitely right. I guess he was cruising for bruising.
Community Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Hi, it's Darren Mutu. Join me on Phoenix FM for Reggae Revival, the only place where you'll hear old school roots rock, reggae, dub plates, lovers rock. Make sure you don't miss it every Wednesday, 10 until midnight, only on Phoenix 98 FM.
It's Reggae Revival with Darren Mutu on Phoenix FM.
I'm John Chubb. Join me every Thursday night from 7 till 8 p.m. for the Non-League Hour. All the latest results and fixtures involving non-league football teams from steps 1 to 6 across Essex and East London. Reports, interviews and your musical break. That's the Non-League Hour, only here on Phoenix 98 FM.
Every Wednesday on Phoenix 98 FM at 7 p.m, it's the Orient Hour, bringing you the news, views and special guest interviews from the Brea Group Stadium, Brisbane Road. Join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. on Phoenix 98 FM for the Orient Hour.
He does sound like Boise, doesn't he? Mr. Gilson, and he's done the business again. More biscuits and jammy wagon wheels. I spotted them. You tried to hide them, but I spotted them, so don't worry about that. Spencer Carter, if you're listening, no chance, mate. They'll all be gone. And I know that because John Chubb is in the kitchen as we speak, preparing for the non-league hour at the top of the hour. But he's got a mouthful of biscuits and all kinds of things. So he's looking like Buddy the Elf, actually, the way he's dressed as he's coming to life. But I don't blame him. It is freezing out there, as I said. It's about 0 degrees as we speak and probably going to get worse as the night goes on. If you're wondering about the football in the Europa League in Group A, West Ham are still goalless against Bacca Topola. And also Brighton are goalless. They are playing AEK Athens. Anything happens between now and the top of the hour, I'll let you know. But keep it Phoenix, because John Chubb is here with the non-league hour at 7. He will be all over it and he'll keep you in touch. Okay, some a bit more news from the England camp. Now, I'm sure you'll have seen over social media, Ben Stokes, the England test captain, has undergone surgery to address problems with his left knee. And there was a photo that he put on Instagram of him giving a thumbs up outside the hospital with his knee and leg in a cast. He's aiming to be fit for the tour to India, which is next month. I think it's 57 days away, someone told me today. All the best, Ben, but that's a big ask, and you don't really want to go out there half-fit like you were at the World Cup, so get fit quickly, and if you have to miss India, just rest up and be ready for the summer. And just talking about tours, TalkSport has secured radio rights for England. Phoenix did put in for it, but they weren't prepared to send me and a few others out to the West Indies for a few days, but never mind. TalkSport have got the radio rights, and there are 3 ODIs and 5 T20 games between England and the West Indies, which all gets underway on Sunday. The ECB has signed up to the United Nations Sports for Climate Action Framework. Targets include a new environmental sustainability plan. Personally, I would have thought they've got other things to think about, the ECB, rather than being part of some bigger green initiative. But it's all very worthy, so I suppose they are to be applauded for doing that. Whizzing around the counties, I told you about Nathan Lyons signing for Lancashire. Durham legend Graham Onions has been appointed the club's new lead bowling coach. It's a bit of a homecoming for Graham Onions. He's been away for a few years, but he's back at his home county and, as I say, the new lead bowling coach. He was at Lancashire since 2021 and he returns to Chesler Street in January. If you don't know who Graham Onions is or was, he took 527 wickets in 14 years for Durham. So a bit of a legend. And he had some fantastic times with England, particularly in the 2009 Ashes series. Friend of the show, Tamal Mills, has signed a T20 contract extension at Sussex that will keep him at the club until 2026. So that's one bit of good news at last coming out of Hove. As we've talked about several times in this show, there's lots of to-ing and fro-ing going on there, and lots of trouble at Mill, but no trouble at Mills. He signed his new contract. As we mentioned last week, Middlesex are going to play two T20 Blast home fixtures, or maybe outground fixtures, at Chelmsford. There's been a huge outcry amongst both Middlesex and Essex fans, and a statement has been put out this week just giving some details. Both Essex and Middlesex will pay 50% of the operational costs of the matches, which are approximately half of what it would cost Middlesex to set up an outground at a club venue. There are two main areas that Middlesex can benefit financially from playing at Chelmsford. They'll receive a share of the gate revenue from each match, doesn't say how much. They'll receive a share of hospitality revenue for each match, doesn't say how much. Essentially, playing at Chelmsford instead of an outground club already saves Middlesex a significant amount of costs, amount of money on the costs of setting up the game. When potential revenue from gate receipts and hospitality are factored in, the club stands to potentially be making a financial upturn of six figures plus. Over to the IPL. Joe Root has followed England Test captain Ben Stokes by withdrawing from next year's IPL. Stokes has already made himself unavailable. England batter Joe Root played three times for Rajasthan Royals in last year's tournament, but batted only once. And as Hugh was saying, he was at the Cricket Writers Club lunch on Monday. England's Harry Brook has been awarded the Bob Willis Trophy at the 2023 Cricket Writers Club Awards. Brook scooped the award for Overall Cricketer of the Year just 2 years after winning the Cricket Writers Young Cricketer of the Year. So well done him. Many congratulations. All-rounder Nat Siver-Brunt picked up the Women's Cricket Award for the second consecutive year. And to much applause, BBC broadcaster Kevin Howells was recognised with the Peter Smith Award. And just to round up, Brentwood Cricket Club's very own Chris Green. If you've been watching Brentwood over the last couple of years, you'll have noticed Chris playing out at the old county ground. Well, it's just news this week. He's been called up to the Australia T20 squad, which is currently touring India. Well, that's it from me. As I said, the show is available to download on the phoenixfm.com website. Head to there or look for the podcast, look for the YouTube. Straight after me at the top of the hour, after the news, John Chubb is here with the non-league hour. 8 o'clock, Gareth Williams, bumper to bumper, and then Madeline Christie's here at 10 to take you through until midnight. Playing us out tonight, here's David Guetta and Sia. This is Flames. I'll catch you next Thursday night, 6 till 7, for more 98 Not Out. Yeah.
On the hour, across Brentwood and Billericay, this is Phoenix FM News.